Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Growing up, we all started life dependent upon our mothers and then our family. As a newborn baby, there was very little we could do for ourselves. Just about everything we did required the assistance of another person. If we needed to eat, we needed somebody to feed us. And if we needed our diaper changed, we needed somebody to do that for us as well. Most of us first learned to crawl, and that gave us freedom to move around a bit. After crawling, most learned to walk, and walking gave us freedom to get around in a larger area. When we were given toys as a small child, we might have been taught how to play with them, and for most, we had the freedom to play with the toys however it pleased us. From the earliest time of our life, we were introduced to freedom, and we were also reminded of constraints in our life. There may have been only certain foods we were given, and eventually, as children, we were expected to be toilet trained. Whatever freedom and movement we had as a child came with limits. I'm reminded when I was recently shopping, and a grandmother was shopping with her toddler granddaughter. The grandmother allowed the toddler granddaughter to walk with her instead of being pushed in a shopping cart, and that worked fine until the toddler decided to take off running. And after a verbal command to stop was ignored, grandmother showed she could outrun her granddaughter. The toddler had fully embraced freedom when all of a sudden grandmother yanked it out from under her. With the toys we were given as children, there came a point where we were taught to put the toys away, teaching us that freedom comes with constraints. As we grew up, many of us were given bicycles to ride, and even bicycles gave us a larger feeling of freedom, as with the same amount of effort, we could travel further than by foot. With that sense of freedom came constraints, where we could ride only where we were allowed to ride. For some of us, that might have been on our driveway, the sidewalk, or on our street. Later, we might have had those constraints loosened by our parents, maybe giving us permission to ride to a nearby store, school, or park. When we learned to drive a car and were able to drive the car by ourselves, we felt an even greater sense of freedom. But with driving a car came even more constraints, what we think of as the rules of the road. Violations of those rules could be met with civil or criminal penalties. So with the greater sense of freedom that came with driving a car came greater responsibilities. When we moved out from the family home, we also felt freedom. Whether we were going off to the university or simply moving out to have our own place to live. And most of us lived in either a dormitory or apartment. Those living arrangements came with their own constraints. One of those constraints was and still is the financial responsibility to pay the rent. And sometimes the tenant is responsible to pay for utilities. In addition to the financial obligation came the responsibility for food. Though in some university dormitory arrangements, that might be built into the cost of the room. Most apartment complexes and university dormitories have resident rules that the renter or student agrees to abide by. So in addition to the financial constraints, there are those constraints as well. Seeking freedom is something that seems to be a natural part of the human experience. That's one of the reasons why so many people look forward to the weekend. There is greater freedom in what people can do on the weekend, especially for those who only work or go to school Monday through Friday. Nations celebrate their freedom as independent nations in different ways. Some commemorate the ratification date of the Constitution, while others commemorate an event of a significant war or event that led to independence. Today is the 250th anniversary of the ratification of the Declaration of Independence by the Second Continental Congress of the United States. On July 4th in 1776, the text of the Declaration of Independence was approved. The actual vote to sever ties with the crown occurred 2 days before on July 2nd. The signing of the document did not happen until August 2nd. After the text of the Declaration of Independence was approved, copies were printed and distributed so they could be read to the troops of the Continental Army and Navy and be posted in public areas so that people could read for themselves the text of the Declaration. Freedom for the United States did not come without a fight. The Crown was not going to give up its colonies just because the colonies wanted to sever ties, and it would take several more years for the Continental Army and Navy to secure a victory. While hostilities stopped with the British surrender at Yorktown on October 19, 1781, it would take nearly another 2 years for the Treaty of Paris to be signed on September 3, 1783. Since then, there have been numerous wars and conflicts to preserve the freedoms of the United States. It has been said that freedom is not free. There is a high cost that comes with freedom, and yet as Christians, we have freedom through Jesus Christ. It can be easy for us who live thousands of years later to overlook the incredible sacrifice made by Jesus Christ so our sins could be forgiven. That freedom of having our sins forgiven comes with knowing the truth. Truth is found in the Bible and comes by knowing what Jesus taught and doing what Jesus taught. If all we know is what is in the Bible, which includes what Jesus taught, and we do not do those things, we will have rejected truth. When truth is rejected, there is no benefit that truth provides. And that means for those who reject truth, truth will not set those who reject truth free. To benefit from truth, we have to embrace truth. If we want freedom that comes through Jesus Christ, we must embrace truth doing what Jesus taught. Embracing truth means we reject what is sin. We won't reject and antagonize the sinner, but we do reject sin. Like the people of Jesus' time, who didn't see themselves in bondage needing freedom, it can be easy for any who live in a country that legally protects freedoms to also not see themselves as being in bondage. When we reject sin, we reject the idea that we commit sin. In our personal life, we never surrender to sin. We never come to peace with sin. Sin is something we always fight when it is present within us. Jesus showed he frees us from sin, so we must become the servant of righteousness. John 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Knowing we are free through Jesus Christ can be overshadowed when we live in a country that through the laws of the land protects freedoms. I've shared before that I live in Texas, a state that has had six flags flying over it along with multiple Native American tribes. Today, in Texas, only a few tribal lands remain, and only one of those six flags represents the law of the land. Governments of man come and go along with protections provided by their laws. But the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ is eternal. Paul understood that the freedom we have in Jesus Christ comes through faith, a faith that requires us to live within the laws of man, but that looks to eternity to come within the kingdom of God, a faith that looks to this kingdom to come and God's righteousness, a faith that acknowledges that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ makes our freedom possible, and a faith that gives us insight to do what God expects of us. Galatians 2, verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. As people, there is nothing we can do to be justified before God. Paul lamented that he found himself doing those things that he did not intend to do and did not do those things he intended, all while painting a picture of the human connection to sin and the spiritual connection to righteousness. We will look at those verses a bit later in the message today. He showed that the faith we have is a faith that not only recalls that through Israel, the people of Israel exist, but shows the seed promised to Abraham was more than the people of Israel, as the promise focused on Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of that promise. Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. For the faithful, we will do what God expects, and our focus is on faith. Paul showed that first there was the law, and then there was faith, explaining that the law should not be confused with faith. The law is a series of things we are expected to do as amended by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It would be accurate to say through faith, as we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, we do what God expects of us. But it would be inaccurate to say that doing what God expects of us is the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Paul compares the law to the type of education somebody might receive in primary and secondary schools in the United States through grade 12. Most of what is learned, especially in primary grades, is foundational in nature. If learning math, one will learn the various operations of math and the logic behind it. A good deal of learning is solving mathematical problems presented to the student. And if students get the correct answer showing complete work, they will receive the higher marks. And students who show wrong answers with incomplete work will receive lower grades. I am not aware of any job an adult might have where somebody is given mathematical problems to solve, as if the boss comes in, gives the employee a math worksheet for their work of the day. I am aware of multiple jobs that require a great deal of math skills taught in school, and how those math skills are used will be applied differently. For instance, an engineer might need to mathematically prove a design concept, and the engineer's work would be reviewed by another engineer to see if agreement is found. When it comes to money, accountants and accounting clerks keep track of money, and then comes along the auditor who verifies the accuracy of their work, not only in the area of math, but to make sure that accounting practices follow generally accepted accounting principles. The math that was learned in primary and secondary school is used in the later work, but it is not the later work. The law and faith is similar for us. Through faith, we will do what God expects of us, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not the law of the Old Testament. Through Jesus Christ, it makes no difference if our genealogy traces its way through Israel or a Gentile nation, because through Jesus Christ, we are the seed of Abraham. Because all of the household of faith are of Jesus Christ, we are all heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Knowing we live by faith, which is beyond what God expects of us, we could incorrectly choose to live solely by what God expects of us, requiring us to live by everything in the Old Testament, or we can choose to live by faith, which incorporates what God expects of us as amended by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that looks forward to the kingdom of God to come and God's righteousness. Choosing to live by faith, we choose to be free, and faith is shown by the love we have for one another. It's like the engineers and accountants will not limit themselves in their jobs to those skills learned in primary and secondary school. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. The freedom that we have through Jesus Christ is meaningless if we do not have love for each other. It's not enough to serve one another. We are expected to serve one another by love, knowing that everything taught in the law of the Old Testament is summarized in the concept of loving others as we love ourselves. We absolutely must avoid destroying each other. As Christians, if we attack other Christians, we should not be surprised when those other Christians attack us. That's one of the reasons why I extend peace and love to all who may believe differently. We need to be focused on what we do instead of what others do. We need to make sure we are walking in the Spirit and not walking to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here is what we need to remember. If we are led by the Holy Spirit, we are not under the law. So the big question is, are we led by the Holy Spirit, or do we try and lead the Holy Spirit? Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Paul knew the law was spiritual, but that he was carnal, sold under sin. He lamented that he did those things he did not intend to do, that he did things he hated, and that what he wanted to do spiritually, he did not do. He acknowledged that in his body was nothing good, and hinted that the only good thing within him was the Holy Spirit. Even with the Holy Spirit, Paul found it hard to separate the human experience from our spiritual focus on the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. He saw the only chance for salvation he would have is through Jesus Christ. Paul saw no other way for him to attain salvation because spiritually his body always failed him. He needed the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ with forgiveness of sin to serve God. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There are some who look down on others as if they are less than they are in the faith. They look down on these other people for whatever preconceived notion comes to mind. Instead of working out their own salvation with fear and trembling, they accuse others. If through love we serve one another, we also must remember that love covers a multitude of sin. Our faith is not a faith to attack others, but a faith that has given us incredible freedom through Jesus Christ, where the grace that has been shown us can be reflected toward others. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Knowing we have this freedom through Jesus Christ, we can use that freedom to bring others to freedom in Jesus Christ, a freedom that includes freedom from eternal death. Instead of doing what God expects, because there is a fear of death and an uncertainty with what happens at death, we can bring others to the freedom that comes by Jesus Christ that includes eternal life, knowing that all who fall short of the glory of God in sin can have freedom that comes through forgiveness of sin from Jesus Christ so that they can have eternal life. Hebrews 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Without faith and forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ, which gives us freedom, we are subject to the penalty of death that comes through the law. God knows as people we are weak and sin is probable in our life, because our human body is our point of weakness. Everything about our body is sensual. We live and learn through our five senses: touch, taste, smell, sight, and hearing. Everything we know comes through those five senses. Even faith comes initially through the five senses. Paul taught that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. He showed that it is by human senses we first learn about God and faith. Romans 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Human senses can lead people to faith and can also lead people to sin. What happens is based on the person. Educationally, lacking the sense of touch, sight, or hearing can be worked with through modifications. That is why on Sabbath Bible study, we provide spoken sermons and sermon transcripts. We also provide a companion Bible study that could be run through a translation app to meet the needs of a person understanding a foreign language. We work hard to make sure our information is accessible by visitors to the website. There is not much of a need to educationally modify the sense of smell or taste, but if it was critical in individual circumstances to provide modifications for the lack of smell or taste, there are ways those modifications could be provided. We can take comfort that even though we are severely limited in our present human form, that through Jesus Christ we have freedom from the law of sin and death, knowing that if we have the Holy Spirit and are led by it, God looks at what we do spiritually. Being led by the Holy Spirit means we do not surrender to sin. We fight sin in our life. If we surrender to sin and are led by sin, there is nothing that we or any person could do that would please God. We must be led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Having freedom through Jesus Christ, we could incorrectly use that freedom to maliciously attack others. Or we can use that freedom as servants of God. Peter writes that we are to honor all men, and that includes people who may not honor God and Jesus Christ. All is all. All is not just those who are led by the Holy Spirit who do what God expects. Peter wrote to love the brotherhood, and that includes people who may belong to another congregation of faith. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit, and because we do not judge others, we accept others are led by the Holy Spirit as well. Love is a stronger word than live with, abide, or tolerate. There should always be a special bond between people of faith, just like there is a bond of love within a family. Early in my teaching career, I worked at a middle school where there were four teachers, including myself, who remembered to keep the Sabbath holy. Two of us attended the same congregation of faith, and the other two were with other churches. But that commonality brought us closer together within the larger faculty group. Peter shows we are to fear God, having a reverential awe of God, and we heed the laws of man, whether that be the municipality, state, or nation in which we live. In all we do, we use the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ to be servants of God. 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. In a second letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote that the Holy Spirit connects with the human mind so that instead of looking to what is written as confirmation of what we are to do spiritually, the Holy Spirit is a constant presence within us reminding us of what we need to do. And because the Holy Spirit is part of who we are, the Holy Spirit is what will lead us to eternal life if we are led by it. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. In the Psalms we can read of walking in freedom by seeking the teachings of God. For us, there is no freedom without Jesus Christ, who did what God expected of him. Likewise, we must do what God expects of us. Psalm 119, verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Going back to that second letter to the Corinthians, Paul also showed that wherever the Holy Spirit is found, there is freedom. We have access to the Holy Spirit because Jesus died for our sins and the sins of all mankind. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. In the wilderness, we might use a compass to lead the way and to get ready for the day. We might use a mirror to make ourselves presentable. Similarly, we use the Holy Spirit to lead us and to compare ourselves to what God expects of us. When we find ourselves short of the glory of God, we use that as a reason for spiritual growth. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Living a life of freedom from sin does not give us a license to sin. Because through Jesus Christ we have been freed from sin, we must become servants of righteousness. We must be led by the Holy Spirit. And whenever sin crops up in our life, we do not surrender to sin, and instead seek eternal life and the fruit of the Holy Spirit that shows spiritual growth. Romans 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Having freedom in Christ does not mean we are free from the perfect law of liberty. Instead of forgetting about the law of liberty because we have freedom through Jesus Christ, we are to continue in the perfect law of liberty and do what is expected of us. James 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. There is the incredible blessing of eternal life that comes by doing what God expects of us, one coupled with the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. With forgiveness of sin comes freedom from the penalty of sin, and instead of focusing on death, which is the result of sin, we, through forgiveness and freedom, can focus on God's righteousness and the kingdom of God. Let us use the freedom we have in Jesus Christ for good, and to love one another, never forgetting what God expects of us. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.